Heading to the church building on Wednesday evening. My car's covered in ice. It's still sleet, raining, snow mix, whatever that was. My wipers weren't really working. People are going extra slow. Traffic reports on the radio are terrible. But the news lady announced that it's Ash Wednesday. And several churches, she said, are holding special services. And she mentioned St. Pat's in Victor has one at 7 p.m. tonight. And I thought, nice, good for St. Pat's. They made it onto the news. That's always cool. And I think, that would be fun to go to. I'd love to stop in. But it's Wednesday. And I'm part of a group that watches The Chosen every Wednesday. So I can't go. The Chosen? I don't know if you've heard about it. But the guy who preached here last Sunday recommended it. I've heard it can actually change how you live your life. Maybe you want to check that out sometime. So I'm coming over to the building to finish setting everything up for Chosen when I get a couple calls. People in the group say, John, it's really bad where I am. I don't think I'm going to be able to get there. And I knew several from our group were traveling, and a few of them had called in sick already. So in the end, we decided it would be better to postpone episode 6 of The Chosen Season 3 until this Wednesday. And as I pulled into our parking lot here and I slid to a stop, and as I skated my way as best I could across the ice rink that we call a parking lot, that seemed like a good choice to cancel tonight. Shut everything down here, headed back to home through town, but I realized when I got to the light, if I hurried, I could still make the Ash Wednesday service at St. Pat's. So I turned down the road and I got in a line of cars that were waiting to park and I found a spot and I slid my way down their sidewalk, which was just as dangerous. I snuck in the back door of the building. I nodded to the priest who was standing there. I headed for a back row. It's very quiet in St. Pat's building when you walk in. Very, very quiet. When one of the ushers said, John Walker, what are you doing here? Dude, are you lost? It was very quiet until a guy I played softball with in a beer league 30 years ago yelled out my name and came over and hugged me. I did not know what to expect at an Ash Wednesday assembly, but being hugged by a left fielder was not high on my list. Mark and I then had to move our reunion to the side so that the priest and the guy carrying the cross could process. After that, the whole thing was much more Ash Wednesday-ish. They had songs and sermon and silence and ashes. During prayer time of that assembly, we were invited to pray, and I quote, for all the saints and for all Christians everywhere. At that point, I didn't want to disturb the flow of the evening more than I already had, so I didn't say anything, but I really wanted to raise my hand and ask a question. And my question was, and my question is, aren't those the same people? Saints and Christians everywhere. Paul wrote in Romans 1, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of that same letter, Paul is naming names of people in the Roman church, and please enjoy this because I've practiced. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, and Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Salute Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And all those names sound crazy to us, but we have some pretty cool names here too. Ginnikachi, Carice, Abrael, Tegan, Theron, Talon, Cadence, Frump. We have our share of odd names that people would probably find hard to pronounce. But I'm burying the lead, which is in this letter, Paul calls all those people and all the Christians with them saints. He's just naming people who are part of the church in Rome, and he calls them saints. Paul called regular Christians saints. And then there's Peter. Peter's a pretty big deal in Roman Catholicism, right? Really big deal. I assume his writings matter. And in his first letter, Peter calls all the people that he's writing to, the husbands and the wives and the elders and the slaves, all of them that are part of that church. Peter's writing to all these people who have asked Jesus to rescue them. And he calls them hagios. He calls them holy people. The word Peter uses to describe all the Christians he's writing to is saints. it says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter says that the Christians that he's writing to, they are a holy nation. They are hagios. They are saints. Paul says that. Peter says that. That all the followers of Jesus are saints. Meaning, here's the good news. If you follow Jesus, that's you. I think I've told you before that there's a young lady in our congregation who likes to call me Rev. She thinks that's funny. When she walks out after our assembly's over on Sunday, she'll smile and she'll say, "Hey, Reverend Walker." I've had long conversations with this girl about how that's not biblical in any way and she should stop doing it. It's kind of weird. She just laughs, and whenever she sees me, she says, "Oh, Reverend Walker, how are you doing?" So I have taken to calling her Saint Megan. Saint Megan. I see her at Walmart. "Hey, it's Saint Meg." And she just shakes her head. But at least mine is biblical. Any Christian, all Christians could be called saints. And I'm pretty sure that's not who we were being asked to pray for on Wednesday. When you're at a mass and you're praying for all the saints, I think they mean the famous ones, like Saint Valentine. Did you know that there was a Saint Valentine? Valentine was a priest who served under the Emperor Claudius II. Claudius the Cruel is what they called him. Claudius needed more military-age soldiers to throw into his bloody and losing war efforts, but he wasn't able to easily conscript men because they didn't want to go die. They were attached to their wives and families. So Claudius banned marriage. You could not get married. And remember, when marriage is outlawed, only outlaws have in-laws. But Valentine went around, this priest went around secretly performing wedding ceremonies because he knew that's what God wanted, no matter what Claudius said. And when Claudius found out what Valentine was doing, he had him beaten with clubs and beheaded on February 14th. AD 270. That's the kind of saint I think they were talking about at the Ash Wednesday gathering. Like Saint Nicholas. Did you know that there was a Saint Nicholas? He was a wealthy priest who would go around dropping gold coins in windows of the homes of poor families who otherwise could not come up with a dowry. And thus Saint Nicholas anonymously enabled many young couples to marry and start life together because he knew that's what Jesus wanted to happen. Those, I think, are the saints that are sometimes listed just above regular Christians. But Scripture uses the word saint for anyone who follows Jesus, period. If you follow Jesus, I mean, you're a saint. You can, of course, make a word refer to anything you want. I understand, sure, that's true. I heard Minnie Pearl tell a story once about two brothers. There were two brothers who lived in this town, and they were bad. They cheated, they swindled, they mistreated, they disrespected everybody that they'd ever done business with in town. Everybody knew that they were bad news. And when one of the two brothers died, the other had to arrange the funeral. So he went to the local preacher and he told him, I will donate $10,000 to your church if you will, in the funeral, say that my brother was a saint. And the preacher said, all I have to do is say he was a saint. And the nasty brother said, yep, that's all. I just want to hear those words, and I'll give you $10,000 for your church. And the preacher said, deal. So the brother wrote out a check to the church. Word got around, and the funeral was packed. People wondered if the preacher would really follow through. And this is what the preacher stood up and said at the funeral. He said, as you all know, the deceased was an awful man. He cheated, he swindled, he disrespected, he mistreated everybody he ever did business with. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. When biblical writers use the word saint, they meant holy ones, people set apart different from everybody else, God's hagios. And to Peter and to Paul, that included everybody who had ever stepped into the kingdom. And if you have deliberately asked Jesus to cover you and you're letting him train you on how to do life, then it's biblical. It is right. It is appropriate to add saint in front of your name. Saint Mark, Saint Karen, Saint Bob, Saint Becky, Saint Steve, Saint Ruth, Saint Helen. Ooh, that's a volcano. St. Melon. But that's how Jesus sees you, as one of his saints. He sees you as a saint. Sometimes people who are really nice and go out of their way to help, we call them saints. He's a saint. Yeah, she's a saint. We call football players from New Orleans saints. I've watched Victor Saints Pee Wee football games here. It's interesting that they start out as saints and end up as devils. But I digress. The point is that we are made holy by signing up under Jesus' name. And sometimes you might not think that. Sometimes other people might not see that in you. Sometimes, no matter how hard you try, it might not feel like you're a saint. For a while in the 70s, the New Orleans football team was so bad that when their fans went to a game, they would wear paper bags over their heads so that nobody would recognize them if they saw them on TV. Because you didn't want to be a fan of the New Orleans Aints. That's what they called them. And sometimes that seems like our sainthood to us. Like we ain't. Have you ever felt that way? Like whatever it says in the Bible, you know what it says, but you feel more like an ain't than a saint. But it's not true. In Christ, we are actually made holy. In Christ, we have become the holy ones of God. We are saints. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It happened because Jesus was willing to trade with us. He took our record and he gave us his. God reckoned us righteous. Reckoned, it's an accounting word. It's a way of looking at the books. Everything needs to add up. If you put this here and that there, it all works out. It all balances out. And when you put Jesus at the top and us under his signature, we end up with his righteousness. We become saints. And that's what Peter calls us. He says we are a kingdom of saints. We are a holy nation of saints. And then he says, then Peter says, so be holy. Act like it. In 1 Peter 2, he says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter says, live as saints in such a way that non-saints marvel at how we do life together. Abstain from sinful urges. Do what's good for each other. Consider each other precious. Care for each other. Peter says that saints get Jesus' righteousness, and then we demonstrate that righteousness. It shows. Our saintness shows. I got proofed this week. That never happens anymore. Usually, it goes like this when I'm involved. I went to a comedy club to see a friend perform, and the sign at the desk where you go in, the sign at the desk said, and I quote, shut up, we proof everyone. And sure enough, every person in front of me in line had their license checked. Every person. I step up to the table, I'm taking out my license, and the guy says, no, dude, you're fine. By which I took him to mean, I am not fine, I am really old looking. But this week, I was buying some cough syrup for my mom, and the scanner froze. And I didn't know what I'd done wrong, so I tried to scan it again, but it would not unlock. And a CVS employee came over, and she said, birthday? And I said, what? She said, what's your birthday? And I said, you're proofing me? She said, what's your birthday? I said, 1960. She swiped the card and let me buy the cough medicine. The only saving grace was she then went over and proofed a guy who's way older than me at the next register, so I felt better about the whole thing. Peter says, we are saints. We are God's holy people. We are special. Christians are made good by Jesus. We're not really good because we're good. We're good because he makes us good. That's what Peter says is for real. And then he says, so act like it. Love each other. And you do. This week, a saint in this congregation went to see another saint who is in a rehab facility and made her day way better. This week, two saints spread salt and scraped ice and shoveled snow so that you wouldn't all go Wayne Gretzky on your way in today. Three saints this week spent yesterday morning cleaning the building so that it would look and smell as lovely as it does as we use it today. And a saint here in this congregation recently spoke to a guest who decided that she would return and be part of our church because of the kindness that was shown to her. And last week, a couple of saints in this congregation took care of a dog that belonged to one of us who was out sunning herself in Hawaii. And you better believe I deserve sainthood for doing that. At the Ash Wednesday assembly, after passing peace, we're all there together. We're doing Ash Wednesday together. After passing peace, I saw a mom ahead of me pour a generous amount of sanitizer on all her kids' hands. I guess you can't be too careful when kids are shaking hands with a bunch of non-saints. Then, when it was time, and everyone stood, and in orderly fashion, row by row, people streamed up the center aisle to have the sign of the cross etched on their foreheads, I pondered going up. I never have done that before, just to say I was part of the group and I was in on this following Jesus thing, but I decided not to go up, which probably explains why the lady near me decided to take her purse with her when she went. She apparently was not sure I was a repentant Ash Wednesdayer like I should be, and better safe than stolen or something like that. Contrast that with the pickleball lady this week, who sat down next to me, and she said, "Did you used to preach for Willowbrook Christian Church?" And I said, "Well, I know Gary was good last week, but have they already replaced me?" Did I used to preach? I said, "No, I still preach for Willowbrook Christian Church." She said, "Wow, then you've been there for a long time, haven't you?" And I thought, "Yeah, I can buy cough medicine. I've been here so long." No. I wasn't really sure if I was digging this whole conversation the way it was going, but then she introduced herself and she reminded me that her daughter had hung out with our youth group and we had baptized her daughter early in the 2000s. She asked how our church was doing. I asked how she was she part of a church? What was she doing? She said they're part of a church nearby. And she said how live streaming had really helped her family as her husband battled cancer. She told me how he beat it 12 years ago, which was great because when you beat this kind of cancer, it almost never comes back, but it did. And then she said, "I do not know how we would have made it without the support of our church, especially the small group we're part of. They are amazing people. They are so full of love. They are saints." And I said, "I bet they are." Here's the deal. God never intended you to be part of a religious organization. He did not ever once intend that. But he really wants you to be part of a group of saints, a local congregation, a church where everybody knows your name. And they may not always be glad that you came, but no matter what, they will always help you do life better with them than without. So, to those of you who are watching online, great, thanks, happy that you do. But you need a church. You were made for a church. Saints are made to do life in the plural. And I implore you to find a group of people who are being trained to do life by Jesus and join them. But if you're local, if you're from around, and you would choose us to be your church, your group of saints, we would be honored. Let's do our sainthood together. Let's pray.